Friends, do we realize the power of God's Word? The power to change lives? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and of is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword with a blade in both sides. It's quick and powerful, living and active. That's the God that we serve. The power of God to change lives. You know, that video was not produced by the Gideons International. It was produced by an independent film production company. When I spoke to Pastor John, when I told him of it, he said, "Oh, yeah," he said, "we use their videos once or twice a year." And we can say, "Well, that was just a video. Someone's put that together," and that is true. But in our international headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee, we receive many, many testimonies of lives changed as a result of the fruit of the ministry of the Gideons International. And quite a few of them, many of them, are the result of Bibles placed in motels, as you saw there. Furthermore, I know of testimonies we've received, multiple testimonies that we've received of that are depicted in two of those scenarios. The first and the last. More. And who knows? The ones that get shared with us as an organization probably is just the tip of the iceberg in reality. Elliot Ozowit is one such man. A number of years ago, he arrived home on Christmas Eve from his business travels to find the door to his house locked. His wife, grandchildren were inside, and he was locked out, and it wasn't by accident. You see, he was not a faithful husband and father. He was busy chasing his own dreams in the business world while his wife was at home struggling to raise two of their grandchildren while battling cancer. Not knowing anything better, he checked into the local motel with a gun, with plans to end his life that evening. But laying on the TV, on top of the TV was a copy of God's Word, placed there by the Gideons. And having been raised in a Jewish home, he knew what the Bible was. He knew that he wanted nothing to do with it. A swipe of the hand took it to the floor, a kick of the foot, attempted to put it underneath the bed. But we all know that many of those hotel beds aren't on legs like ours are often at home, but they're solid down to the floor. And so it wouldn't go. And at last he resigned himself as he looked down to picking it up. It was open, probably not to the same page that it was open laying on top of the TV. But he read there from John 14, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Who on earth does not want peace, peace of the heart? And that's what Elliot was searching for. He spent 3 days in that motel room reading God's Word. On Sunday, he joined his wife in attending church. And it was there that he gave his life to Christ. And today, Pastor Elliot Ozowit is a pastor of a church in North Carolina. The Lord restored his family to him. He has a wonderful testimony to share because somebody gave, provided the funds for that Bible to be placed in that motel room, and God took it from there. The power of God's Word to change lives. In this day and age in which we live, there is much assault on the Christian, on the church, on God's Word for what it is. And it's important as believers that we are well grounded and are not swayed by the voices that we hear in the culture around us. You know, some of those things that are threatened, you know, this is an age of relativism. You know, what's right for you is not necessarily right for me. What's wrong for you may still be right for me. You know, no absolutes, and yet God's word is absolute. There's humanism. Who needs God? We can do it on our own. In many things, maybe we can, but when it comes to the sin question of our heart and being reunited with our Heavenly Father, God's word tells us there is only one way, and we can't, as mankind, do it on our own. We believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now look briefly at a few verses here, and these are not verses that are unfamiliar to many of us, but it's the foundation, some foundation verses of the truth that is necessary for us to be have reaffirmed in our minds. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the person of God, the godly person, may be perfect. Another meaning of that is not perfect as in sinless or without, we don't make mistakes, but that perfect means complete. That the man of God or man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. You know, there at the beginning it says all scripture, not just some. All of this is inspired, infallible, inerrant. You know, inerrant means it's without error. Infallible means it's not capable of being wrong. The difference is fine, but there is a difference there. You know, God's word is absolute. It doesn't contain truth. If it contains truth, then, well, it's up to us to decide what is true and what is not. No, it is truth from beginning to end. It's a remarkable book. It has 40 human writers of the 66 books that it contains within it, written over a period of 1,600 years in three different languages. The writers are from 13 different countries on three continents. Occupationally, we had fishermen, statesmen, there are herdsmen who wrote part of this, doctors, men with much learning, the Apostle Paul, and yet some of them were men with very little formal education, very little learning. And yet, you would think if you would have confusion, you would have no uniform thread, and yet from Genesis to Revelation, there is one overriding theme and one overriding story, and that is the fall of man in Genesis, beginning of Genesis, and from there on, it's Christ's love, God's love for us and his plan of redemption to allow us as his creation to be reunited with him in eternity in heaven. He only provided one way. There's not many ways. He only provided one way, and that's through Jesus Christ alone. I would also invite you back a couple chapters or a couple books to the 2 Peter, because we wonder, how can this be? 40 different writers all writing. You know, many of them never read what the other wrote. Obviously, living over 1,600 years, you know, they didn't live in the same time frame. So how can this be? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, in 21 we read, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private or personal interpretation, for this prophecy came not in old time, many years ago, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 40 human writers, but only one author. And that was God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit imparting what he wanted us to know about him to these men. That is why what we do together as Christians and the Gideons can be successful. You likely already know that the Gideons is an association of born-again Christian business and professional men and their wives who exist for only one objective, and that is to introduce the lost to Jesus Christ. We do it in a manner of means, primarily through the personal sharing of our faith, encouraging others, telling them about Jesus, and also by the placing of God's word in traffic lanes of life, places where it is then there, available to meet them in their time of need. Yes, we do place it in hotels and motels. Of course, that is from what we're most known by, if you will. But we also provide them to hospitals, assisted living facilities, prisons. You know, a hotel Bible has an estimated life of 6 years and the potential to touch or have 2,300 readers in that six-year life. And over its time, it may be, tattered a little bit and soiled and coffee stains and torn pages and graffiti or whatever else. That's why we want to routinely replace them, and the used ones go into prisons and have a second life where lives are changed, as I'll tell you a testimony shortly. We also provide testaments to school and college students, to our military personnel. In the first service, I had a gentleman come up and Jeremy still has his, I think he said from 19 years ago, something like that he received when he entered the service. To the police, firemen, and EMTs, last year, our last fiscal year, 12-month period, ending in the end of May, through this ministry and by your help, 84.8 million copies of God's Word were distributed or placed around the world. That's a hard number to get our mind around. It's a very small number when you think about the population of the world. And yet, on average, it's about 2.6, almost 2.7 copies of God's Word every heartbeat, every second, 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. God's Word continues to go out at that rate, and we praise the Lord for it. So while you may have already known that fact, did you also know that through your support, you can truthfully say that you have missionaries, that you support the work of missionaries in now 200 countries around the world. And through your partnership with the Gideons, you are making a global impact on a local basis. Yes, you're reaching around the world on a local basis. And what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, notice I didn't say that you support missionaries. For you see, you support their work. Gideons are self-supporting. We live Boyertown, my wife and I live in Quarryville, in 200 countries around the world. That's where they live. That's where they work. That's where they worship, just like you. So they don't need support for that, but they do need support, especially in 185 of those 200 countries that cannot support, cannot provide the funds. You realize that in a country such as Syria, where the evangelical population, the Christian population, is very small, they may speak in churches, but get very, very meager funds given compared to the opportunity they have to distribute. And that's where we have the blessed opportunity to assist them in that. Really, there is a three-way partnership that takes place here. There is the church, there's the Gideons, much as the Holy Spirit. If you see, on an average, for an investment of just $1.25, the Gideons will print one of these testaments, ship it to one of 200 countries around the world, where a Gideon or an auxiliary member, our wives, will place it in a hand, or if it's a Bible, maybe by a bedside. But together, friends, that's as far as you as I can go. It's not done anyone any good yet until it's open, until the Holy Spirit does his part. And as they read and as they understand, the Bible, God's Word, moves from here to here, and that's when lives are changed. So it's that opportunity we have to join together with God and the Holy Spirit and in with his Word in changing lives. You know, as Christians, we are not responsible for the number of people that come to a saving faith in Christ by when we share our faith, or by distributing God's Word. We are called, though, to be faithful and spreading the good news. It is the Holy Spirit that uses God's word to bring sinners to repentance. I'd like to look at two passages this morning in Scripture that bear out this fact and this thought. First, if we go to John 16. You know, in the book of John here, Jesus in chapter 16, Jesus is telling his disciples that he must leave. But when he goes, essentially he tells them that something better is going to come, and that is the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, verse 8, when he has come, he will reprove, or some translations say will convict, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit tells us we're guilty for our sin, and yet he doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit also provides the antidote to that. Because if you look down in verse 13, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So not only does the Holy Spirit convict of sin, but then he enables the seeking sinner that opens God's word and read. He enables them to understand. You know, it's said that the Bible is different than any other book in history, and we know that. But it's said that one of the reasons it's different is when you open its pages and begin to read, its author shows up and speaks to you. Praise the Lord for that. Also, if you go to chapter 8 of the book of Acts, there's a story here that has always intrigued me. And, you know, we see one of the apostles who was not only tuned in to the Spirit's moving in his life, but also he responded accordingly. And the challenge here is for us that we would do likewise. Acts chapter 8, looking at verse 26, it says, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go, and tells him where to go. And then in verse 27, and he arose and went. We saw obedience. The Spirit spoke, and he responded. What a challenge for each of us. Number one, to be able to be tuned into God, that we hear his voice, and then that we respond to the command of his voice. So he went, and it's the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And, you know, he's riding in a chariot, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. It tells us here in verse 28, and yet he's having difficulty understanding who it is that he was reading about. Verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, once again the Spirit spoke, go near and join thyself unto this chariot. The only thing I can figure out is Philip was a fast runner or the horses were getting tired. But nonetheless, Scripture tells us that he ran thither. Once again, he responded right away. He ran thither, heard him reading from the book of Isaiah, and asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Unless someone explains it. So Philip got in the chariot with him, explained to him that he was reading about, the prophet Isaiah was speaking about or writing about Jesus Christ. And then in verse 37, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, Philip was there explaining, but it was only the Holy Spirit that could reveal that to him. And after being baptized, in verse 20, in verse 30, and then 30 or 38, and then 39, and as they were coming up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. And I just envision the Holy Spirit being a conductor that orchestrates. You know, over here we need somebody we have a need. Who can I send of God's children to meet that need? He sent Philip. And what a wonderful opportunity it is when we are available to go and meet that need. So the challenge is, are we in tune with God and available for service, for his service, as Philip was? I know that for a number of years, perhaps quite a few years, this congregation has been partnering with the Holy Spirit through the Gideon ministry in reaching the lost. And for this, we say thank you. You know, we as a ministry cannot do what we do without you, without the support of the local church. I marvel at the variety of verses that God uses to touch a heart, to catch someone's attention, to speak to them through his word. We already mentioned the testimony of Elliot Ozewit. That was John 14:27 that he gives as the verse that spoke to him. Some of you may be familiar with Angel Tree Ministries. If you've heard it, it's a ministry that provides gifts at Christmas time and such to the children of inmates, I think specifically women inmates. That's part of Chuck Colson's prison fellowship. That was founded by a lady who stands about this high, Mary Kay Beard. Mary Kay was not always a godly lady. She was on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted. You'd never know it. But her and her brother were bank robbers, safe crackers. But she got caught, ended up in a county jail, Jefferson County Jail in Alabama. Nothing to do, nothing to read, solitary confinement, but a Bible provided by the Gideons. And she said, I didn't know anything about reading the Bible. She just opened and she opened Ezekiel. Now, I doubt you've ever heard Pastor John bring a message on salvation from Ezekiel. But that's what spoke to her, Ezekiel 36, 26, where she read, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And she knew that she had a hard heart, and she knew that she desired a new heart. And through continued reading of God's word, turned her life over to Christ, and then beyond that went into this ministry of Angel Tree's ministry, and when she was in prison, she saw the way that prisoners would wrap up even just toiletries and anything. Prison mothers in prison to send to their children at Christmas time. And that was the inspiration for her to start and begin Angel Tree Ministries. A number of years ago, your young people will appreciate this. A couple years ago, my wife and I attended the International Convention where a Gideon from Malawi, East Africa, shared his testimony. His parents had divorced. He was shuttled back and forth between father and mother. And through all of that, he came to the conclusion he was not wanted. He was very alone, feeling rejected. He decided to end his life if nobody wanted him. He had already attached a rope to the roof or ceiling of the thatched roof house in which he lived. And yet he had received some biblical instruction as a child, and it just didn't seem right to him to end his life. So he reasoned that perhaps if he would get down on his knees and pray before doing it, somehow that would make it all right. And he did that, and as he got up from his prayer, he brushed against a little table that held books, school books, and it tumbled over, books fell to the floor. And among those books was a testament that he had received some months earlier. And it was there kind of underneath the books. It was open, he said. I'm assuming open this way and not that way. But regardless, I will quote as he shared his testimony to us. I thought, God, maybe he wants to talk something to me. Perhaps I should read it. Maybe it will bring me good things when I die. So he picked it up. It was open to the book of Psalms, chapter 27, where he read verse 10. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. And he realized he had a father who did love him, his heavenly father. He did not take his life that day, and a short time later, trusted Christ as his Savior. And happy stood before us a gathering of 2,000 plus Gideons and Auxiliary members and just pleaded that we would be faithful and continuing to carry forth the message, getting out the work that God has called us to, because many more are out there in his situation needing the word just as much as he did. And yet, friends, because of your faithful support, can you just imagine that testament had your fingerprints on it that he received and changed his life? Just a little update in the ministry. The last year and a half has seen some extraordinary things happening. And we marvel at the Lord's faithfulness. I would point to three different milestones. First of all, the opening of the 200th country in which we are organized and established. 200th country, territory, or possession, and that is St. Martin down in the Caribbean Islands. That was back in December of 2014, almost about 16 months ago. And then a short time later was the approval of the 100th language in which that has been approved for Gideon's distribution. And that is the Uzbek language, presumably for distribution in Uzbekistan. And then just exactly, I can't tell you the exact day, but in April of 2015, 1 year ago, the 2 billionth scripture was left our warehouse. 2 billion copies of God's word through the ministry since 1908. We were actually founded in 1899, but 1908 is when the Gideon started distributing scriptures. And so from 1908 to September 10th, 2001, a day before 9/11, that is when the first 1 billion scriptures went. And now in 14 and a half years, the second 1 billion have gone out. And only Lord knows if he tarries how long it will be to the third 1 billion. However, back in 2005, our leadership developed a vision for the ministry to be distributing 120 million copies of God's word annually each year by the year 2020. This last year, we were about 85 million. We have a ways to go. And the truth is, the demand is there. The ministry has just exploded in India. They distribute 12 to 13 million. That's over 1 million copies of God's word every month in the country of India. And other countries are similar. And yet, while the demand is there, the supply is limited. And that's the challenge for each of us. So we don't know when the third 1 billion or the fourth 1 billion or even how long we have. The need is now. But we are reminded in Psalm 118:23, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. You may be interested to know that we have added another area of distribution or another program to help reach the youth of America. You know, many public schools do not allow the Gideons to come in and provide scriptures to their students. However, there is nothing that says that you can't give a gift to your friend at school. And so in 2010, the Gideons instituted the Lifebook Movement. This is a program that is administered through the local pastor, youth ministry, equipping our young people to then take this book. It's the book of John with additional notes. It's very interesting to take this to school and share it one-on-one. It's a peer-to-peer distribution program. And in that way, God's word is still getting into our young people that they may know the love of God and Christ as their Savior. In the last, since 2010, so the last 6 years, over 17 million copies of the Lifebook have gone to Christian youth, just like some of you here this morning, to give to your peers. And it's just seeing marvelous results from that. You know, God's word tells us, Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So you may be asking, how can I help? Well, just remember the three P's. We ask you to pray, we invite you to participate, and we encourage you to provide scriptures. Pray. Gideons are your missionaries in 200 countries around the world, placing God's word on your behalf, going where you can't go. Pray for their safety and for open doors, and that sinners respond to the Spirit's call to repentance. Participate. Yes, this ministry needs more men and their wives to do the work of the ministry. If you have any interest in learning more how you can participate in that way, talk to me after the service. And yes, we encourage you to provide scriptures. As Brother Gary mentioned earlier, you will have that opportunity as you leave the sanctuary this morning. I would draw your attention to the bulletin insert that you received. As he mentioned, There is an envelope in here. If you didn't come prepared this morning, you can use that at a later date. We do ask that you put the name of your church up here in the corner. That way the local camp knows that it's coming from Trinity EC. Also, something you can use this morning. There's a credit card receipt here that you can use and drop in the offering plate. There's also a place there that you can do it, make a one-time contribution or make it monthly. For just $11 a month, you can provide a case or a box of 100 testaments annually for $11 a month. Also, some of you are familiar with that little quick response QR scan code there. If you have a smartphone, you can use that to go to the Gideon's website and provide scriptures. You have back in your lobby the Gideon Card Bible Program. These cards, they're available for you to use. You can give them in memory of someone who's passed on, give them to the next of kin. You can give them to, you have cards there for thinking of you when somebody's struggling and you want to encourage them in honor, in recognition of important events. You know, what's somebody need on a 50th or 60th wedding anniversary? But what greater blessing to know that Bibles have been given in their honor of their faithfulness in marriage. Bibles have been given so others may know our Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Friends, I thank you for your attention this morning. You have been so attentive. I thank you as a congregation for your continued support. I was simply saying in closing, may the Lord bless each of us as together we do what we cannot accomplish alone. Thank you.